Well, you're talking about big-time fraud, big-time healthcare fraud to the tune of $6.5 billion. Prosecutors announced those charges yesterday. 450 defendants in this alleged fraud spanning Medicaid and hospice care. The Justice Department charged these 450 defendants, totaling over $6.5 billion, spans 57 federal courts, 41 states, 90 Medicare medical professionals. And this new data sharing agreement with the FTC, Homeland Security, CMS to expand fraud detection. They said that there just basically wasn't any fraud detection.
Yeah.
And these people were allowed to just fly under the radar.
And that's why they kept doing it and did it to that amount of money. That's a lot of money.
Matthew Schneider is a former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan and joins us this morning. Matthew, it's good to have you back.
Thank you for having me back. Nice to be here.
This was some staggering numbers that they were talking about yesterday. Hundreds of people involved in this and to the tune of a lot of money. Is it fair to paint the picture that this fraud was able to just go under the radar based on what you've seen?
Well, not entirely, because a lot of these people were in fact charged by either the federal government or the states. And so whether it went under the radar, ultimately, a lot of these people got caught. And what's significant of this is not just that there were 455 defendants charged in this, or that there was over $6 billion that was involved, is this is an annual event that the Justice Department and the states get together to do. So this type of event, it happened last year, it happened the year before, and it's going to happen in the future. That's really the problem to identify, that there is so much fraud that you have to do this at least once a year to have this huge kickoff, and it's not going away. And I think that's the larger problem.
Matthew, you know, when most people hear Medicare fraud, they think of the paperwork mistakes or maybe some billing errors. But this case, I mean, you got kickbacks, telemarketers, fake medical necessity. How sophisticated have these schemes become now?
The more sophisticated the medical practice gets with billing and coding, the more sophisticated the criminals are getting, because they're adapting to that. They're using AI. So they're using a lot of the tools that we use to benefit ourselves with electronic patient records. And the criminals are sometimes tapping into those, manipulating codes. It's very sophisticated, and it's now also expanding to networks. It's not like there are just a few individuals doing this. It's really another aspect of organized crime, where you have a whole network, maybe even a network in a foreign country, who are tapping into an American electronic data system to mm-hmm. commit these crimes.
Mm-hmm. So to your point of this needing to be an annual thing that the DOJ has to do, with so many people being charged, Does this act as a deterrent into the future? Does it highlight that there is a real lens on it, or has there always been an eye on this?
It should act as an deterrent. I always think that when you do these types of rollouts and kickoffs of these large prosecutions, it raises awareness that people are watching. And so it should act as a deterrent. Now, of course, it's not going to stop all the people. But then again, that's always the case. We can charge political corruption cases. You can charge bribery cases. That will continue to happen. It's whether or not the impact is strong enough to really deter people. And that's really the hope of the federal and the state governments.
You know, for healthcare providers, Matthew, who operate legitimately, what kind of compliance measures should they have in place to avoid becoming, you know, entangled in these questionable arrangements?
It's a great question, because most healthcare providers operate appropriately. I mean, that's really a big point to make here. There are bad apples that got caught and are being charged, but the grand majority of healthcare providers and doctors and physicians, they're doing the right thing. Sometimes they have nefarious employees, or sometimes they don't have the proper systems to know whether or not their data is being hacked. When you have a data hack like that, you also have to report that to the state authorities. If you have an intrusion in your systems, you've got to report that, for example, to the state attorney general. And if a medical provider decides that they don't want to be embarrassed by that and they don't want to report it, That's also the problem, because ultimately that's another way to solve this issue. But for providers to not follow the law is one of the reasons why we're in this situation.
Well, and the really unfortunate thing is you're looking at these 90 medical professionals that were charged with these schemes ranging from like wound care to opioid distribution. Mm-hmm. These are people that we trust for our medical care, and they've, you know, been accused of submitting over $500 million in false Medicaid claims. Is there any sort of glimmer of hope that we're going to be able to claw back some of this money?
It's possible, but the restitution and forfeiture process is extremely difficult. As we saw in this press release and the press conference yesterday, some of that money is gone because they spent it on lavish vacations and meals and trips. You can never recover that money. However, they have recovered some jewelry. They've recovered a Ferrari. You can get those items back. But even so, the process for the government to seize those things, that could take years. And then they auction it off, and then that takes even longer to get the money back to where it's supposed to go. So it is a margin that returns. It's just not always a great margin.
And, you know, when you look at the sheer size of this nationwide takedown, Matthew, does it suggest the system is working because investigators caught these schemes, or does it reveal just how vulnerable our healthcare system remains?
It does show that it's working, but it's also important to note that there are two really distinctive types of crimes here. One is billing for unnecessary tests. That just keeps happening, and the enforcement of that isn't great. But these other types of things that cause real harm to patients, for example, not giving them the health care that they're supposed to be getting or giving them the wrong medication, that's something that is addressed more seriously by the federal and state governments, because you could really cause damage and cause serious patient harm to people. So they're tending to focus more on that, where it causes a physical harm to somebody. And they're a little bit sometimes getting the money that is going out is getting a little bit of out of hand. It's just harder to catch that sometimes.
We just have 30 seconds left here. Jacob Foster, the acting chief of the DOJ's healthcare fraud unit, called it a cat and mouse game. Is there anything legitimately that they can put down as a framework to prevent this then?
Yeah, I know, Jacob. I think that's right. I'd also describe it as a whack-a-mole game. Mm. And so the more mallets that you have to hit the moles, the better. Now, that's expensive to hire these prosecutors, to hire these agents. But right now we're in a period of the federal government where they're decreasing agents and decreasing enforcement numbers. But I think the Justice Department and other people are realizing we do really need these government servants.
Something tells me it would cost less than
$6.5 billion. Yes,
exactly.
So, yeah. Matthew Schneider, always appreciate it. Thank you for the insight.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, it would significantly less.
Significantly less.
$6 billion.
And I don't know that for sure, but I'm pretty sure it wouldn't cost $6.5 billion. Coming up on the other side, something isn't adding up in this Nancy Guthrie case. We'll talk about it with Daniel Roberts. It's JR Morning.